Take your copy of God's Word and open it up with me to the book of Genesis. And this morning, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at the first three verses. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Years ago, there was an old country preacher who was walking down a country road on his way to the country church where he pastored. And on his way there, he passed a field. In that field, there were some farmers who were working as hard as they could. And that preacher got a little bit agitated with them. So as he was walking by, he hollered at them and said, "Hey guys, don't you know that the Lord worked 6 days and rested on the seventh?" And one of those men responded and yelled back and said, "I know. But the Lord was finished. I'm not." Well, there are a lot of people who are like that in this world today. They are never finished, therefore they never rest. Well, I'm here today to talk to you about the day God rested. We've been looking at the story of creation, how God created the universe in 6 days. He created light. He created the expanse, the sky, the seas, the land, the plants. He created the sun, moon, and stars, and the fish, and the birds, and animals, the first man and the first woman. It's amazing, all this creating that God has done in just a short amount of time. I mean, billions of galaxies, hundreds of thousands of plant species, tens of thousands of bird and fish species, millions of animal species. For 6 days, it's just nonstop creating. And so when we get to day seven, we think, "Oh boy, I wonder what God's going to create next." And we get to the seventh day, and God created absolutely nothing. And on this day, we are told that God rested. Now, if you had never heard this story before, and you were reading this for the very first time, this is not what you would expect to take place. And so the question is, why did God rest on that seventh day? Well, let me tell you what are not the reasons why God rested on the seventh day. God did not rest because he was tired. God was not worn out. He didn't need a break. It says in Psalm 121, verse 3, "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Isaiah 40, 28 says, "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary." Folks, God never needs to take a nap. God never has to go on vacation. God doesn't have to recharge his batteries like we do. That's not why God rested on the seventh day. God also didn't rest on the seventh day because he was out of ideas. God is omniscient. He's a God of infinite creativity. He could have continued to create new things. He could have continued to create new galaxies and new life forms. He could have, but he did not. On that seventh day, God stopped, he paused, he celebrated what he himself had done, and he rested because that was part of God's plan, a plan that includes you and me. Now, brothers and sisters, we desperately need this. We so need to experience this, and we need to learn this. I'm even going to say this morning, I don't believe anybody can experience abundant Christian living unless they learn and they practice what is Sabbath rest. That's how important this is. Now, this morning, we're going to look at these first three verses of Genesis chapter 2. We're also going to go a little further and see some other passages in the Word of God that shed light on this passage in Genesis 2. But we're going to see that God set some precedents for us when he rested on that seventh day. We're going to see why that is so important for us now. We're going to see, first of all, in God resting on that seventh day, we see a command to be obeyed. We see a command to be obeyed. Now, in your Bible, look with me, chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. I want you to notice the wording here. I want you to notice the vocabulary that is being used, how there's this emphasis again and again on the idea of completion. Verse 1 says God finished. Verse 2 says God ended. Twice it says the work God had done. It is done. Verse 3 says the work God created and made. Now that's six times in three verses that we are told God rested because his work of creation was finished. Now I think that's impressive because I never finish a day's work. No matter how much I work, I don't know about you, there's always more work at the end of the day I wish I could have done. But when God worked, he finished his work. It was finished. He completes it, and he rests. Now, in verse 3, God did something he did not have to do. The Bible says he blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. The Bible doesn't say that God blessed or sanctified any of these other 6 days, but he blessed and sanctified this one. And then as we continue reading through the scriptures, we see that God, having blessed and sanctified this day, he instructs man to bless and sanctify this day as well. And this becomes the basis of the fourth commandment. You've got the Ten Commandments, which the Lord passed down to his people through Moses in Exodus chapter 20. That fourth command, which we see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Listen to what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Here's why. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Out of all of the Ten Commandments, this is the only one that is directly tied to creation. The reason God told them to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is because in creation, God worked 6 days and rested the seventh. So whenever you observe the fourth commandment, you know what you're doing? You are reminding yourself that God is the creator, that his creation is finished, thus he is in control. Every time you keep the fourth commandment, you are reminding yourself you did not get here by accident. God created you. You're part of that creation, and therefore you owe God everything. Folks, we desperately need that one day a week where we can focus on how big God is, so that the other 6 days we will remember how small this world is and how small our problems are compared to this God. Now, when we talk about the fourth commandment, there really are two questions that I get a lot as a pastor, two questions that people are always asking me about this. A lot of people will ask me, Pastor, are we still bound by the fourth commandment? Sometimes someone will say, well, Pastor, why would we still keep the fourth commandment? Because we're not under the law, we're under grace. Well, that is true. We cannot earn our salvation by keeping any of the Ten Commandments. We are under grace. We are saved by grace through faith alone. But let me remind you of something. Grace, if you've been saved by grace, if you've received grace through Jesus Christ, God's grace always motivates you to do even more than what the law required. And if the law required them in the Old Testament to give God one day of their time and worship, then those of us who are under grace should certainly do no less. Now, another question people ask me is, well, Pastor, why do we observe the seventh day like they did? In other words, why do we worship on Sunday? The Sabbath was not Sunday, but Saturday. I get that question a lot. Well, there are numerous verses in the New Testament that show us that in the early church, for those Christians, their Sabbath day was, in fact, Sunday. And this was done under the direction of the apostles who were taught by Christ himself. For example, we see that Jesus rose from the grave on a Sunday. That's one reason. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ not just on Easter Sunday, but every Sunday when we gather here to worship. Jesus was raised on a Sunday. He sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost on a Sunday. We see that the church was born in Acts chapter 2 on a Sunday. In Acts chapter 20, we see the people of God gathered together on a Sunday. We're told that they broke bread, probably a reference to the Lord's Supper, on a Sunday. In Acts chapter 20, Paul preached on a Sunday until midnight. Did you hear that? Warms my heart every time I read that. He preached until midnight on a Sunday. He told the Corinthians to collect the offering on Sunday. When John wrote the final book of the New Testament, he referred to Sunday as the Lord's Day. So, yes, we are called as Christians in the New Testament to observe a Sunday Sabbath. Yes, we can worship every day. Yes, we can pray any day. We can serve God every day of the week. But there is one day in which, in the New Testament, we are to rest and give God our attention. And for us in Christ, that day is Sunday. That's why we should keep this command. Unfortunately, we often break it. And I see two ways in which we commonly break the fourth commandment in our churches today. One way we break this command is when we rest without working. When we rest without working. When I read the fourth commandment a moment ago, did you notice that it actually began with 6 days you shall work? Did you notice that? 6 days you shall work, and then we're told that the seventh day you shall not. We forget that the fourth commandment includes within it a command to work. For us, work is a good thing. Work is redemptive. In other words, work is one of the ways in which we can glorify God. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever job God has blessed you with, that work is a ministry. That work, when you do it honestly, when you work hard, when you do it unto the Lord, that work becomes a means by which you glorify God. And so, yes, work is redeemed. Work is good. Paul said to the Thessalonians, if any man will not work, then let him not eat. Now, I fear that in our society today, we are breaking the fourth commandment. Many people are breaking the fourth commandment not by refusing to rest. They are breaking it by refusing to work. And while I'm here, may I mention that I have tried very hard, but I can't find the concept of retirement anywhere in the Bible. You may retire from a job that pays you. Praise the Lord. That just means you now have more time with which to serve God. But a retired Christian is really an oxymoron. You never retire from God's work. Sometimes we break this command when we rest without working. But then there's another way we break this command, working when we work without resting. When we work without resting. There's an old Chinese legend about a man who was walking down the street and he had 7 coins in his pocket. He saw a beggar on the side of the road and he felt compassion towards him. So he reached in his pocket and he pulled out 6 of those coins and he gave those coins to that beggar. What he did not know, however, was that the beggar was also a thief. And so after he walked by, the beggar, having received freely the 6 coins, picked his pocket and took the 7th coin as well. I fear that there are a lot of Christians doing that today. God's given you a good job, a good business, a good income, a good living, 6 days. God blesses you with work, but then you decide that's not enough. And you spend the 7th day working as well, not because you have to, but simply because you want to, because you want more and more and more. I know what some of you are thinking, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. We are the ones who are here. But you don't know how many people listen to this message online. Now, I need to say something at this point. You don't have to be legalistic about this, okay? Jesus said twice, if your ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, are you not going to pull it out? Well, of course you are. If you have a heart attack, God forbid, I pray it doesn't happen, but if you have a heart attack and it happens on a Sunday, do you want there to be a doctor working on Sunday? Or do you want to have to wait till Monday? No, of course you do. Folks, if it is essential that you work on Sunday, if that's part of your line of work and you're not always able to be here, you know what? You can still honor the spirit of the 4th commandment by taking a day of rest and setting aside a day of your week for God, for reading His Word, for prayer, and for rest. And you can pray that God would open up a door for you so that you would not have to work on Sundays. You can make that a matter of intense prayer and fasting. When I meet someone who's a Christian who says, I'd love to be there, but I work on Sundays, and I never bash them, I don't judge them, I don't beat them up. I just say, well, God bless you. I now know how to pray for you, and I do. That becomes the top prayer request when I pray for that person, that God would work in their circumstances and open up a door so that they can be in God's house among God's people, taking that day, that Sunday, as a day of rest. But we see in this command, we see in this 7th day, a command to be obeyed. But that's not all we see when we look at this. We also see a benefit to be enjoyed. We see in this day of rest a benefit to be enjoyed. God blessed the Sabbath so that the Sabbath could bless us. I mean, He knew that we were going to need rest, so He hardwired it into us. He literally designed the creation of the universe with a day of rest built in. Well, the Pharisees then came along years later. Of course, they complained about how Jesus observed the Sabbath. One of those times was in Mark 2, and we can't get into the whole story, but there's something Jesus said about the Sabbath when He responded to them. Listen to this. In Mark 2, 27, and He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." It's like Jesus said, hold on a second, hold on. We need to remember who is being served here. The Sabbath is the servant. It's for our good. God gave it to us to bless us, to serve us, because He knew that we would need it. Let me ask you a question. How many of you get really, really tired on a regular basis? Man, you are just so tired. Anybody here willing to admit to that? All right, many of you. Well, have you considered what you accomplish every single day? Every single day, your heart beats about 104,000 times. Every single day, your blood travels 168 million miles. Every single day, you breathe 23,000 times. Every single day, you eat about 3.5 pounds of food. Well, some more, some less. Every day you drink 3 quarts of liquid. Every day you lose a pound of waste. Every day you speak 25,000 words. Again, some more, some less. Every day you move 750 muscles, and every day you exercise 7 million brain cells. No wonder you're tired. God built you like that, knowing that you were going to need rest. And he designed this day so that you could benefit from rest. This was supposed to be a blessing. But again, the Pharisees came along and they turned the blessing into a curse. And what did they do? They added all of these rules and regulations to the fourth commandment. What you are allowed to do, what you are not allowed to do on the Sabbath day. And making matters worse, they put all of those rules on the same level as the Word of God. Rules about how many steps you are allowed to take on the Sabbath. Oh my goodness, could you imagine having to keep up with that? 1,054, 1,054, 1,055. Oh my goodness. Rules about spitting. If you spit on the ground, you could not spit in the dirt, because if you spit in the dirt, you were making clay, and making clay was considered work. But you could spit on a rock. That was not considered work. You were not allowed to make a knot with both hands. You could make a knot with one hand, although who can really do that? But if you made a knot with two hands, that was considered work. You couldn't carry an orange, because that was considered work. But if you thought ahead and you cut that orange in half, you were allowed to carry one half of the orange in each hand. These rules were absolutely ridiculous, and the people had to somehow try and keep track of all of them. And the Pharisees turned the Sabbath into a burden, not a blessing. God never meant for it to be that way. Your life is like a watch, and that watch has to be wound up every 7 days. And if you don't wind it spiritually, it stops being productive and it stops doing what God meant for it to do. You need that one day a week where you are in the house of God, surrounded by the people of God, singing the praises of God, reading the Word of God, so you would leave filled with the Spirit of God. You need that. I remember something interesting that happened years ago when I was a student in college. I took a one-week mission trip to Memphis, Tennessee. And like with many mission trips, we had a free day that was designed. And so on our free day in Memphis, we decided to go to the local amusement park. Now, it doesn't exist anymore, but it was called Liberty Land. And I remember that day, like it was yesterday, it was raining heavily that day. The park was still open, but with all of the rain, there just weren't many people there at all. It was almost empty. But we went in this amusement park, and we're riding these rides, and they had this wooden roller coaster, and I've got a picture here called the Zippin' Pippin'. There it is. And so me and my friends, we decided to try out the Zippin' Pippin'. There was no line. We walked right up. We got in the seat, and we took off, and it was okay. I mean, it was fast enough. The hills were big enough. It was fun. I enjoyed myself. And then we come to the end of the ride, and I notice there's nobody standing in line waiting to get on this roller coaster. So the guy who was operating the ride, he didn't even bother to stop it. He just waved at us as we went on by. And so now I'm on it a second time, and at first I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. We get to ride it twice. We come around again. There's still nobody there waiting to get on. A second time, he just kind of waves, lets it go on by. So now I'm riding this roller coaster 3 times in a row. Now, I should probably let you on a little secret. I can get a little bit motion sick. If you don't believe me, just ask Steve Deal what happened the first time I flew with him in his plane. But I can get a little bit motion sick. I like roller coasters, I really do, but I just have to pace myself. Well, there was no pacing with this guy. So we're on it a third time, and we come to the exit again. There's nobody there. We go right on through. So now I'm on this roller coaster for the fourth time in a row. Man, I am feeling it. And I start to pray to Almighty God, creator in heaven and earth, that he would send somebody to ride this roller coaster so I can get off. And then as we're approaching that fourth time, I saw a couple of poor schmucks who had no idea what they were getting into. And that roller coaster stopped, and I quickly got off. And I remember, you're going to think I'm making this up. With God as my witness, this is true. I got off the roller coaster, and I saw this little red sign. Now, you can't really see it, but that sign at the top says, Elvis's favorite ride. Did you know that Elvis Presley rode that same roller coaster for about 2 hours nonstop the day before he died? When I found that out, I said, that figures. Makes sense to me. Probably had the same guy running the roller coaster that day. And then I thought it could have been worse. I could have been on there for hours. There is a point to all of this, I promise you. Some of you are on this roller coaster called chaos, and you're always going, always doing. You just won't get off. You never stop. You keep writing and writing and writing that thing over and over again, and you wonder why you're so messed up. You wonder why you're so stressed. You wonder why you're so worn out. You wonder why you're so confused. Maybe it's because God never intended for you to live this way. God wants you to get off the roller coaster of work and chores and all of those other responsibilities. And God created the Sabbath to provide you with a way to do that. This is supposed to bless you. This is good for you. And I promise you, if you'll trust God, and if you will observe faithfully the fourth commandment, you will find out God can help you do more in 6 days than you could do by yourself in 7 days. And so we see in this day of rest a command to be obeyed. We see a benefit to be enjoyed. But then there's one other thing, and oh, this is so important. We also see a gift to be received. Here's where we get to the heart of the matter. The Sabbath was meant to be more than a command we keep. The Sabbath was meant to be more than just the blessings we enjoy when we keep it. The Sabbath was meant to point us to something bigger and something greater. Now, we see this in several scriptures in the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul said this, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths," verse 17, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Oh, there's a whole lot we could say about these verses, but notice the Sabbath is the shadow, the substance is Christ. When you see someone's shadow, their shadow points you to the person. This Sabbath in the Old Testament that God rested on the seventh day, that was a shadow to point you to Jesus. What we read in Genesis chapter 2 ultimately is all about Jesus. Now, to really understand this, we've got to go even further into Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, the author of Hebrews is describing the rest that God offers his people. And he talks about what that looked like in the Old Testament, how Israel, they were in Egypt and slavery, and God brought them out, and he offered them this rest. For them, that was the promised land. But you remember the first time God told them to enter the promised land, they didn't believe, they refused to go. And as a result, they missed out on experiencing that rest. And he says, for us, for those of us in the New Testament, for those of us who know Christ, notice what the author of Hebrews says in verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. This rest is not a future rest. He's not limiting this to what you will experience in heaven one day when your work on earth is done. This rest is a spiritual rest. This is a rest that you can have right now. This is a rest that you can experience not one day a week, but every single day of every single week. You want a picture of what this rest looks like? You think about that time when Jesus and his disciples were on the boat. The storm was raging. It was so bad. They thought that they were going to die. And where was Jesus? He was fast asleep. He was modeling that rest. This is the kind of rest that God offers us, where sometimes the storm is raging all around you, but inside there's that peace that passes all understanding, and you have rest. A few verses later, in verse 9, the author of Hebrews explains how Jesus' offer of rest relates to that Sabbath rest we see in Genesis chapter 2. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Now notice this. God worked and then ceased from his work. That is the work of creation. But Jesus worked and ceased from his work. That is the work of redemption. One points to the other. God worked and created this world in how many days? Six. Jesus worked for our redemption when he hung and died on the cross for how many hours? Six. See how one points to the other? Creation is the finished work of God. Redemption is the finished work of Christ. And there's this principle here that I don't want you to miss. Jesus worked and then rested so that we can rest and then work. There's something amazing here that we notice when we compare the Old Testament Sabbath day to the New Testament Sabbath day. In the Old Testament, they worked the first 6 days of the week and then rested on the seventh day. Work came first because they were under the law, which was based on works. In the New Testament, what do? We rest on Sunday, on the first day of the week, and then we work the next 6 days. Now, why is that so significant? Because under the law, you have to earn your rest. But under grace, rest is a gift you receive. You receive this gift of rest freely when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. You receive this gift freely, and then you do good works as a result. Listen to me carefully. You do not work for your salvation and then rest after you've earned it. You rest in your salvation and work because you already have it. That's the difference. Jesus talked about this kind of rest in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, when he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what? Rest. This is a rest you can have right now. You are tired under the weight of sin, you can have rest. You are tired under the pressures of this world. Jesus offers you rest. You are so tired fighting the battles of life. Here's rest. Have you received that rest? Are you experiencing that rest, that spiritual rest that Jesus offers? Jesus came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again on the third day, so that if you will receive Him, putting your faith in Him as Savior and Lord, He'll give you life and forgiveness and peace and joy and rest. Join me as we pray.